Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-commerce School Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight figure brand owners build incredible businesses and equally amazing lives. And if you were listening to the show, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, I talked about my new focus for the year and kind of the new schedule and priorities. And one of those was to start doing more things that A, were interesting, and B, that let me get my hands dirty and really dive in to some of the cool new technology. Obviously, you know, I'm really interested in the whole field of building meaningful businesses with AI tools. And I don't think we're going to, you know, ever lose humans, but as technology is getting better, I just think there's insane potential to be able to build meaningful, awesome businesses with hyper small and efficient teams. And while there's been a lot of disappointment, or at least a lack of truly stunning work and output in a lot of AI fields, I think the field is obviously only growing faster and faster. And I wanted to take a real effort to be able to create an AI-based copywriter and content writer that I could leverage. Not one that I would ask to write content from scratch, but that could be a collaborative partner that could write in my voice, that could help me be more persuasive, incorporate some of the knowledge about great writing, and do it in a way where the results were actually really good. And if you're like me, you've probably tried this. You've used AI to create content and it has just fallen on its face in terms of the disappointment. It's just terrible. It's either way too perky or makes lame jokes, gets the tone wrong. It doesn't know anything about the content. It's not good. And I think a couple of things have gave me reason to think that I might be able to have more success. One of those is in the past attempts, the amount of training and context I gave it, if I'm honest, was pretty weak sauce, right? Like, hey, here's a little bit about the company, a few things. I didn't take the time to deeply communicate my background, our company's background, what our customers and our members really care about, what they're struggling with, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to do that. And secondly, I think AI, obviously tech is getting better, particularly the models and particularly the context windows. So the amount of information you can load up in these projects that just kind of remains in memory and that the LLMs can work from. So for all those reasons, I wanted to spend today, this is my, today that I'm recording this was my really dive-in day. I'm carving out one day a month to deeply create something, learn a new skill, and have output by the end. And the goal was to be able to, by the end of the day, have two copywriters focus slightly on different things that could produce a landing page for my newsletter, and then also be able to help me take a story that I had created and narrated for Forging What Matters on the podcast and try to refine that, make it better, and improve it for written format. So those were the outputs, the goals for the day. So let me dive in here tactically. So I did create two copywriters. Well, one copywriter specifically, whose name is Don. That's the alias, kind of the name I created for him after Don Draper of, you know, of course, Mad Men fame. And his goal is to write content that's persuasive, that's transactional, that tries to get somebody to take an action. So, you know, he'd be the one who did write the newsletter signup page. I think that's a very different skill set and mindset than writing copy and content that is designed for general marketing, for brand awareness, for education, for things like that. And so for that, I created a content writer, an AI content writer called Neil, in honor of Neil deGrasse Tyson, who I would argue is probably one of, if not the best communicators in terms of delivering information in an educational, fun way while still entertaining. He's so good at it. And anyway, so named him in honor of Neil deGrasse. So the biggest lift for this whole thing was putting together the document list and all of the background information that I used to train and to give context for these two copywriters. So before we dive into what the list was, for me, a huge pain point and struggle of this was thinking about having to type insane amounts of information. I'm a reasonably fast typer, but typing all day nonstop sounded awful. And plus, you can't get as much information in. And so I dictated through voice recognition almost all of this information. And I played with a few different tools. Apple has a voice recognition tool. I don't think it's very good. The one that I have been impressed with has been Microsoft Word. So if you go into Microsoft Word and you just use the dictate function, it has a, it's surprisingly good at picking up the nuance based on context. And so I will dump a ton of stuff, 4 or 5 pages of just spoken text into Microsoft Word. And then I will go in to ChatGPT and say, hey, ChatGPT, here's a transcript, clean this up. And I can get so much information out very quickly, which is really nice. So from a document list, the things I pulled together, I pulled together reviews from our events. I pulled together testimonials from our members. I put our ECF one pager in that talks about why e-commerce exists, what is critical we do well, and what I value in our team. I spent probably 45 minutes sounding like a crazy person just talking. I think the person in the office next to me thinks I've got some serious mental issues, but talking just at the computer about the entire history of e-commerce fuel, my journey, my background, the different eras of the company, our team, what we do well, what we don't do well, where we're going, who I want to attract, our ideal customers, et cetera. Also put in, there's a company called Thought Leader X on Twitter, and they had a couple of templates that help you really talk about your unique selling propositions, what you do well, how you help your customers or your members solve problems, what they're worried about, the solutions you offer. It had some really good prompts for all of these things, who your ideal customers are, who they aren't, you know, all these things that were just amazing prompts for really helping the AI get a complete 360 view about the business and how we help. Anyway, all of these documents, as much as you can, you want to dump in here. If you are a member of eCommerce Fuel, I will go ahead and make as many of these available as I can for you in the forums. And then the final two documents I put together were a kind of a persona profile for Don, the persuasive copywriter, and a persona profile for Neil. And for each one of these characters, copywriters, I had these prompts. Who is Don? You know, who is this person? Who should you act like? So for example, for Don, the copywriter, I said, imagine you study deeply the strategies, advice, and work of Gary Halpert, David Ogilvy. I'm probably butchering his name, which is really embarrassing because I know he's one of the most famous copywriters of all time, of Neville. He's a great copywriter. And I'm saying, hey, you blend old school brand copywriting like that in Mad Men with more action-driven and modern digital copywriting. But you're not overly pushy, sensational, or cheap. Anyway, et cetera, et cetera. So I talk about the influences, the tone I want this, I want my copywriter to have. I talk about things you should do. So how you're, you should use natural conversational language. You should ask questions of us to write the best copy possible. You should cater your writing style to the format being used. Is this for Twitter? Is this for the website? Is this for a newsletter? Ask us if you don't know. I have a list of things not to do. And so I also dump a bunch of writing samples into this document for Don from persuasive writing I've done in the past. I do the same thing for both copywriting agents. And so at this point, you've got a ton of documentation. If you have not spent at least 5 or 6 hours pulling this together, I don't think you're doing enough to get great, great output. It needs to be painful. You need to be sick to death of it. And bad news, it's not quite over, because once you have all of this, what I would recommend is that you ask your writing persona, okay, go read all of this. Tell me who you are, what your goals are, and tell me about the company. And you can get a sense of, you know, how well of a job you've done based on the output it gives you. And then from there, say, okay, great. Seems like hopefully you have a good idea. Where are the gaps? What don't you understand? What do you need? Where do you need more detail to write exceptionally good copy? And it will come back. I was impressed. It came back. ChatGPT came back with really good questions about a bunch of different facets. Should we emphasize X or Y? Tell me more about what members, you know, it seems like you want this, but you actually are saying this. It's a really good clarifying tool for fine-tuning where the confusion points are. So of course, you take those, you answer those questions, and you dump that back into your documentation. And so now you have a really robust, stress-tested repository of knowledge for your AI copywriters to hopefully not be terrible like they were before. Hey, Andrew here with a quick sidebar to introduce you to Yin, who is the owner of CoStudio.co, where she sells and makes incredible boxing gloves and apparel for women. And I wanted to give you just a little snapshot of her experience with eCommerce Fuel, our private vetted community for 7- and 8-figure store owners.
ECF always holds amazing in-person events, and it's amazing getting to meet founders in real life. Everyone's always so warm and welcoming, but I think the forum is definitely what I use the most. Whenever I have a question or I'm struggling through something in my business, PCF is definitely where I go to first for answers. Normally, people would have already posted about the topic I'm looking for, and if not, I'll create a post, and I always get really insightful advice and comments. I also love seeing the case studies and new strategies. I think it's the best way to keep up with what's going on in the e-commerce and D2C space.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. But many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their seven or eight figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show. So now you've spent an insane amount of time just completely dumping everything you can into this this document database. And I would recommend doing this somewhere where your whole team has access to it. One thing I love about Claude is that it allows you to sync up a Google Drive folder or Google Drive files, and so that they can be updated in real time. So if you go to Google Drive, you can update those and it will reflect in Claude. ChatGPT makes you update just static files, which is a little bit frustrating because every time you update your knowledge repository to try to improve things, you have to reload the file. So Claude has a really nice advantage there. So I'm going to give you a sense on both Claude and ChatGPT, and this is the moment of truth. So I got here and then I asked for, like I said, those two things. Give me a landing page for a newsletter and use the exact same prompt for both. And the results were mixed. The short version is Claude just smoked ChatGPT. In terms of the quality of the output, I was really impressed with the landing page for the newsletter. And I won't subject you to me reading it out loud right now, but it was shockingly good. I might make a few tweaks here and there, but it had my tone. It thought of a headline that I actually thought was good. I have spent a lot of time using ChatGPT to try to come up with good headlines, and generally it's been awful. But right out of the gates, it had a really compelling headline. It was concise, compelling. It was a 9 out of 10 persuasive copy on the landing page. ChatGPT, I would give it, for the same landing page, 6.5, maybe 5 out of 10. It wasn't awful, but it was not compelling. So Claude for the win, absolutely on the landing page. And then for the story, I'm trying to get better as a story writer and a storyteller. I am trying to go from terrible to less terrible. And I had this story that I had narrated and was planning on using, and I got the transcript and fed it back into ChatGPT, and it asked me, I used again the same prompt for both, and I said, hey, look at this story, help me improve it, ask me some questions to help really clarify some of the key points and arcs, and then give me a version for a newsletter and give me a version for Twitter. And again, I was blown away with Claude. It was able to take some of my jumbled thoughts that weren't very cohesive and stitch them together in a much more elegant way than I had thought of. It also got rid of some of the stuff that I thought was important but wasn't. It helped me focus on some of the emotional elements. Anyway, 9.5 out of 10 for Claude for reformatting and improving and clarifying my stories. ChatGPT, again, 6.5 out of 10, was not impressed. It wasn't terrible, but again, it was kind of the same old stuff that you have been used to when you've tried to do this. Anyway, so bottom line, if you take the time to deeply invest in a knowledge library for your brand, you answer all the questions that we talked about, you build up very specific writing avatars, you can get great work, especially with Claude. So I was very, very, very excited to see that because I'm going to be using this in a lot of different ways for the business. Going forward, like I mentioned before, I'm going to be providing this to my team and have it be a resource for the whole company. But things to improve, I want to create style guides. I want to actually ask Claude, use all this information and create a style guide that we can edit. And as I see things I don't like, as I see things that I love, I'm going to continue to feed that input back in to continue to improve and iterate. Another big thing is I'm going to go through, every now and then I have a podcast or a book that I listen to that I feel like has a lot of really valuable nuggets about content or writing or storytelling or whatever it is. And I'm going to be going through, taking the transcripts from those, distilling down the key lessons and the ones I think are important, I'm going to be adding back to that content library. There was, for example, a podcast with Cal Newport and Andrew Huberman on learning and communicating. It was so good, but I listened to it, I think, in the car or at the gym or something like that, and I wasn't able to get those nuggets. And so I'm going to be feeding that back in. And then finally, this is kind of something I don't know if it's possible. Oh, I'm sure it's possible, but I'm not sure how much effort and time I want to put into this. I want to try to automate a system where when I publish a podcast or a new newsletter or a blog, that an AI bot will go read it and critique it based on the kind of knowledge base I've put together and give me suggestions for improving the next time, which I think would be so cool. It's one thing to have to go ask someone, you know, a bot to be able to help you, but it's another thing to have it just show up in your inbox. Anyway, those are the goals. And it was a fun experiment. It took a lot of time, a lot of knowledge dumping, but very pleasantly surprised with the results for Claude and making me, yeah, excited to scale up things on the content side and have something that can get me past the blank page to a point where I can edit, tweak, make it my own, but streamline the process a little bit. So again, I'll post this all in the forums with as much as I can on the document side. And if you got questions about this, if you want to hear more about this, drop me a note at podcast@ecommercefuel.com. Would love to hear if you've had any luck with this or if I can answer any questions. Forging what matters. Last weekend, our normally quiet suburban street erupted into absolute chaos as 10 kids under 12 started shouting goodbyes to each other at the top of their lungs. Multiple neighbors came out of their house, were craning necks to see what was the commotion. And my kids sprinted half a block after the departing cars, waving frantically until they disappeared. My daughter came back, collapsed into my arms, tears flowing, and said, "I can't believe they're gone." And it took me back to my own tearful goodbye decades ago, standing on the college campus with my best friend. We'd been inseparable since I was in diapers, thanks to our parents forging a really close family friendship between our two families. And we grew up together, finding trouble in the mountains, navigating adolescence, meeting and dating girls, celebrating wildly, failing spectacularly. And now we're facing different paths ahead, and we tried to delay our final farewell until we couldn't any longer. And when it finally came, two quote-unquote tough college guys stood there sobbing. And we were both scared, not of just losing daily adventures, but of losing a true friend who knew us really deeply and had our back no matter what. And wondering, as the real world and adulthood loomed, if we'd have that anymore. And so that's why watching my kids forge these deep bonds fills me with a lot of hope. We've spent a decade nurturing friendships with two other families, getting together multiple times per year. And it takes work, it takes planning. It's usually chaotic with, again, 10 kids under 12 running feral all over the place. Sometimes it can be insane. But the payoff, oh, the payoff is so good. My daughter texts her friend goodnight in the evenings, and I can see her face light up. My son, the only boy among sisters, has found a friend who challenges him, encourages him, and helps him embrace his full, unbridled boyhood, which is so cool to see. They're learning what real community and depth of friendship feels like. And in America, where we're increasingly isolated, I think these connections matter more than ever. But the thing is, building family friendships is really hard. And it can feel, you know, finding compatible families can feel like dating to the fourth power. I've had awkward failed attempts that feel like you're getting turned down for a second date. It's difficult to do. So here's a few things I've learned if this is something that you want to get in your own life and invest time in. The first one, start with you as the parents. I think the strategy of trying to befriend the parents of your kids' friends is a terrible strategy. Find adults you click with first. You, the parent, are going to drive everything. You're the one who's going to have to want to put in the effort to organize and connect and get people together. Kids are surprisingly adaptable and will often bond if given the chance. So start with you first and take it from there. I think it's important to find families with shared values. I am a big advocate of having friends that have wildly different opinions from you. It's a way to make sure you don't have blind spots. It's a way to, because there's friends, there's amazing people with all different types of positions and views and political things. In your core, really tight friendship groups you're trying to develop with other families, that's not the place for this. I think having similar expectations about how kids behave, where you are, how you're trying to raise them, what you're trying to encourage them in, and also being able to discipline any of the kids, any of the six kids in our three families, or the six parents rather in our three families, has full authority to go and discipline or correct any of the kids because we're all on the same page. And it makes things so much easier. Be patient. Building these deep friendships takes time and vulnerability. You're going to have awkward invites. And even if you find a family you're great with, it's not always going to feel just, you know, like ooey gooey, and it's going to take a while. So be patient and stick with it. Give your kids more freedom together and let them push their limits with the friends. So this last weekend, we let my daughter tackle a harder ski run than usual because her friends were going and she wasn't ready for it. I knew that. It wasn't pretty, but she did it. And that shaped a pretty powerful bond with her and her friends. We also pulled the kids. We hooked up a couple sleds to the back of my truck and drove around a somewhat abandoned kind of up and coming subdivision. Probably not the safest thing in the world, although we were pretty careful. We strapped some helmets on the kids and made sure to be as cautious as we could. I think the real risk was low, but they had an amazing time. And it was fun to watch them come back and tell the stories and relive some of those things. So let your kids have some risks together. I'm a big believer that we protect our kids way too much in the real world, and we don't protect them enough online. I stole that from someone. It's not me, but I think it's really true. And then finally, be the ringleader. Someone has to step up and make this happen. And if I've learned anything from 10 years of organizing events in the professional space, as well as with friend groups, is that there's tremendous value in just planting a flag in the sand and saying, we're doing this month. We'd love to get some dates and see how it works. Are you in or are you out? Most people won't do that. And if you do that, and if you're willing to do that, you're much more likely to be able to bring people together and form those friendships. So this takes a lot of work. You're trying to fit something into your already slammed life. The logistical planning is pretty heavy, even if it does, you know, if you do get this to meld and to mesh. But watching my daughter's face light up when she connects with her friend, listening to my kids tell stories, listening to how excited they are for upcoming meetings when we tell them we're getting together with these families, it's, you know, and just the joyful chaos of 10 kids hugging each other and saying goodbye, it's worth every ounce of effort. If you're an entrepreneur who wants to connect with other experienced owners who are working to build a financially vibrant business alongside a rich, meaningful life, head on over to ecommercefuel.com to learn more and connect with 1,000 entrepreneurs just like you. Work hard, adventure often, and forge what matters. Look forward to seeing you again next Friday.